With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yep. Alabama wins again. Absolutely dismantles Ohio State last night on the way to Nick Saban's 7th national championship as a head coach. Barrett Jones played for Nick Saban. He won 3 BCS national titles there at Alabama. ECS product. He joins us now. Let's make him the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Barrett, you won 3 yourself. I mean, they win, it seems like, every year now at Alabama. I do want to ask you, because the thought crossed my mind, do you still feel something? And I know you know, you're a very objective, unbiased party in all of this, but do you still feel something at all when Alabama wins national championships? They do it all the time.
Well, this will maybe give you some insight. I was actually there last night. So yeah, of course I feel something. I mean, it's still fun. I mean, do Alabama fans feel the same thing they felt in 2009 when Alabama beat Texas? Probably not. They still feel something for sure.
What was when you think about your titles there, personally, which one was the most special and why?
Well, it's a good question. I would say they were all special. Probably, honestly, the first one was the most special just because it was, the first one and winning a national championship. I had so many goals. That one was really memorable. But then, I mean, also the last year to be Notre Dame and be a captain, that was fun too. So, they all had their different place, and they were all fun in their own way.
Do you get tired of the which team is his greatest? when you get this many, that starts to, that conversation comes up. When you're one of them, does that conversation offend? Does it get tiring? Do you like being a part of it?
No, I mean, certainly it doesn't offend at all. I mean, I think that there's no doubt this is, to me, the greatest offense in Alabama history, and I think one of the greatest offenses in college football history. I think it's right up there with LSU's offense a year ago, especially if you're thinking with Waddle healthy. I mean, that these guys are ridiculous, and they were so in sync last night. I mean, it was unbelievable that first half, just to watch really what you've been seeing all season, and these guys really executed in the biggest moment of the year and went out there and I thought played probably their most complete half of football. Maybe save one play, the Mac Jones fumble. It was almost flawless. And so, how do you compare? I have no idea. I mean, it's very apples to oranges. I mean, would that team score 100 points on some of the defenses that I had? Probably, because just the game is so different. I mean, our teams had never heard of an RPO. And, we played base personnel most of the game with 4 linebackers. And, now you have nickel and dime on the field almost the whole game with 5 or 6 DBs. So, it's just so different. And it'd be hard to quantify and hard to measure exactly, how this team played that team. And even 8 years later, I was thinking about that exact thing because my last game I ever played in college was on that exact field in Miami against Notre Dame. And I was thinking about how much football has changed since then, especially offensive football. So, yeah, I mean, I have no idea how to compare, and ultimately, obviously, we'll never know, and we can argue about it all we want. I don't think the defense, it's a good defense. It's probably not up there with the elite Alabama defenses of all time compared to, their peers. I think they were probably sort of middle of the pack numbers-wise. Not middle of the pack, but middle of the pack for Alabama, maybe like teens or, 20s rankings-wise in most of their rankings. And so that doesn't obviously hold up to some of the other numbers we've seen compared to other defenses in those years. But, I mean, offensively, this team was so good that you almost hardly even noticed. I mean, the thing about, like last night, everyone was talking in the stands when Ohio State was down 14, how, the game just felt over because coming back against Alabama used to just mean, okay, can we find a way to score two touchdowns on the defense? But now football has changed so much that coming back against Alabama means, obviously, yes, can we find a way to score points, but also probably more importantly, can we find a way to stop Alabama from scoring? Which is, it's just crazy how much that mindset has changed. And obviously that answer was no. I mean, they were almost unstoppable last night. Even when they lost several key players, it just seemed like it didn't matter that much. Just the system and how well they were playing, it was unbelievable to watch in person.
See, that's what John and I were just talking about this before you had you on. In terms of his greatest strengths as a coach, how high up the list is Saban's willingness, his ability to adapt? You talk about it looking completely different offensively. I mean, I think it's more a willingness, right, Barrett? When you've won so much and you could continue to do it the way that's won you some, or you can adjust. Nick's continued to adjust. It seems like it's part of the juice that makes him so great. It makes us feel like, Barrett, hell, he could win two or three more.
I think it's you must have been listening to some other interviews because that's exactly what I said. I think it's his greatest strength. In some ways, adaptability takes humility because there's been so many coaches that have had one great run where they've done it a certain way and maybe they've won one national championship, maybe two or maybe even three. But eventually, the game changed and they didn't change with it. Someone else came up with a new idea. And I think back, I go back all the way to when Nick Saban hired Lane Kiffin. To me, that was offensively, that was kind of the line of demarcation where there was a big change in offensive philosophy, where Alabama went from just trying to out-physical you and bully you around to really leading offensive innovation, which even sounds crazy. Thinking about 6 or 7 years ago, if you would have said Alabama was going to be one of the leading offensive innovation teams, people would laugh at you because obviously, that's the Big 12. They run around, throw it around. Alabama doesn't need to do any of that stuff. And they really changed the perception of that. And so it's incredible what he's been able to do and the way, you think about the number of coordinators this guy has lost over the last, 10 years. I mean, so many guys have come and gone, and they just kept reloading. And it's unbelievable the way that he's been so willing to change and accept new ideas and, even ushering in this new era of offensive football. I mean, if that game had have happened, 5 or 6 years ago, even though it was a national championship, this might sound crazy. Like Coach Saban would have been frustrated, that the defense gave up whatever they gave up, 24 points. That would have driven him crazy. But he understands now. Okay, the game's different. 24 without offense, we're gonna win pretty much every time. So it's a different mentality and
That's
like.
Awesome.
The way he has changed is unbelievable, and it's the reason he's the greatest coach of all time.
You're seeing over the last few years, it's sort of piggybacking off of that conversation, it's almost become a destination for lost souls in the college football world, right? Alabama, whether it's Lane Kiffin, Steve
Sarkisian. Halfway
house. Yeah,
coaches.
I mean, exactly. and now it's going to be perhaps Bill O'Brien. What is it about? Because it wasn't always this way, right? And maybe Nick Saban didn't want it to always be this way, but it certainly has morphed into that the last several years. What is it about the program? And I guess what is it that attracts and makes these former, head coaches or whatever you want to say, look at Alabama as, hey, that's the place where I need to go to turn my career around?
Well, number one, it obviously has a really strong culture that's centered on Coach Saban and what he does well. And I think they all understand they can learn something, from that experience, and they can learn and build and figure out, what can I do better. It gives them an opportunity. Look, there's also a track record. I mean, we talk a lot about the number of players who go there and then go to the NFL. That's obviously attractive to players, and one of the big reasons they get good recruits is because of their track record. But I think it's the same with coaches. I mean, they're seeing, hey, look, if I go and coach at Alabama, there's a great chance I'm going to get, a coordinator or head coaching job, whatever the next step up is, if I go there. And so I do think that plays into it. And, they've seen the track record now. I mean, Coach Saban just does such a great job of teaching, and not only the players, but also just the coaches of, what it takes and what it looks like. And I think, it's hard. I mean, the other reason that, some coaches don't last forever is because it's hard. I mean, it, to be at Alabama, you have to pay the cost. I've always said I think it's harder for the coaches than it is for the players in a lot of ways at Alabama, just because I know what Coach Saban expects from them, and he understands what it takes to be the best. And he expects them to put in that amount of work. And so it's tough. It's really, really tough. But I think to go there and to see it, to see what it takes to be the best, is super valuable, you know, for those coaches. And obviously, you know, for Bill O'Brien, I mean, man, what an attractive offer to go. And you get an arsenal of weapons. I mean, the thing about the NFL is, you know, you only, usually, unless other than trades, and you only get one first-round draft pick a year. And I would say Coach Saban lately is probably averaging maybe about four, which is fair, first-round draft picks a year. And so, you know, you get an opportunity to play with a little bit of a stacked deck, and you get an opportunity to go and use some of your innovation. And, like, don't get me wrong, Sark, he called an incredible game last night. Like, I think that hasn't been talked about enough. The job he did, taking the job at Texas, and then having that game plan, I thought it was amazing. I thought some of the things he did was so smart. But also, look, here's the reality, and Sark will be the first one to say this. It looks a lot better when you're doing those genius things with Devontae Smith, you know?
Right.
I mean, like, he makes all that stuff look pretty easy. So, yeah, I do think that it's mutually beneficial, and it has become a spot for me. Even look at Butch Jones. Like, he was an analyst, then a running back coach, and now, hey, he got a job again at Arkansas State. So, yeah, there's countless guys you can name who've had that experience, and I do think Bill O'Brien will be the next one.
So tell me this. You're talking about Sark and how great those play calls were. That's what I want to know. With all that talent, it's kind of hard. Mac Jones, Todd McShay's now got him going as a first rounder. We've been talking about, you know, what Fields did or didn't do for his draft stock. Jones was fantastic. I think threw for a yard more, Barrett, than Burrow did in the championship game last year at 464 and the five touchdowns. Is that a face of a franchise? Mac Jones, is he good in a great system? Give me sort of the balance out what you see from Mac Jones and Mac Jones in the NFL.
Well, first of all, I mean, look, you got to just take your hat off to Mac Jones. I mean, I know that deservingly so, a lot of the attention really over the last 2 months has gone to Devontae Smith. And and again, I mean, super deserving. Devontae Smith's incredible. But the Mac Jones story is pretty amazing.
It's remarkable.
I mean, first of all, the fact that the guy would go to Alabama when everyone told him not to. Everyone told him, hey, you're going to Kentucky. You'll probably play more there. You're going to be behind this Tua guy. And you're sitting for a long time. You don't want to wait it out. And then I'm sure people told him to transfer. He hung around until this year. You know, then all of the message board warriors said, well, Bryce Young, this freshman, he's probably going to be the starter anyway. Yep. Mac Jones won't play. Like, he didn't care. He just persevered. And, I mean, Mac Jones, look, I'm not saying he'll be the best pro, but, I mean, this year, I think he was the best quarterback in college football. I mean, you look at just his numbers, his execution on the field, and sure, he had a lot of talent around him, absolutely. But he was unbelievable this year. He really was. And just his accuracy and his understanding, the guy played with so much confidence. And I really think that it was honestly kind of a Joe Burrow 2.0 situation, where you think about where he was a year ago and how no one was really talking about him to go in. Now he's a first-round draft pick. Now no one's really talking about him as the number one pick because there's this guy named Trevor Lawrence.
Of course.
He's pretty good. And Justin Fields and everything. But I absolutely – look, Mac Jones, the point I'm trying to make is I'm a Mac Jones believer. And I think it took me a while to get there. But after watching him and just the way he's gone out and executed and the kind of person he is and the way his teammates respond to him, I'm a Mac Jones believer. I think he's got a very bright future ahead of him. And the thing about the NFL draft is it only takes one. It only takes one team to fall in love with you and believe that. And as you know, there are a lot of teams that are willing to take more chances at quarterback than any other position. And so I do think he'll be a first-rounder. Not only that, I kind of think he'll end up being in the first half of the first round. I've seen some mocks taking him late in the first round. I think there'll be some team that falls in love with Mac Jones and wants to make him their franchise guy.
Oh, that means no for my Bears. You know, we're looking for one, Barrett.
Yeah.
I'm done with Trubisky.
You're done with Trubisky.
Are you kidding me?
Again, huh?
We didn't pick up the fifth-year option. Anytime he plays against good teams, he's trash. He has the brain of a squirrel, Barrett. If he had your brain, we'd be in business.
The brain of a squirrel.
Not to mention Matt Nagy's done a terrible job trying to develop him. That's beside the point.
I feel bad for Trubisky.
Oh,
I really do?
You think it's there, huh?
No, I don't. I'm not saying that. I feel bad for him that he just constantly has this comparison of you know, being taken before
Deshaun
Mahomes, before Watson.
Absolutely.
Like, it's brutal. And, I mean, I think that's a great point, though, on Trubisky. Like, sometimes we overthink these things. You know, like, sometimes we overthink it. Like, Mac Jones, like, I think maybe people have been overthinking it a little bit. Like, this guy's awesome. He's a great football player, you know? I think in some ways there's some similarities there, not with the length of track record, but the success in college to Deshaun Watson. Like, I feel like everyone overthought that one. Like, they were overthinking Deshaun Watson. Like, why did we not think Deshaun Watson would be a good pro? I mean, what do we see in college that led us to believe that? And so, like, I honestly get Mahomes a little bit more because, like, I mean, you watch his tape in college. He makes some great throws, but, I mean, he's a different cat, and obviously it's a perfect marriage of the system and yada yada. There's a lot of talent. But, like, I get that one a little more, but I just feel like we overthought Mahomes, and I hope that we don't overthink Mac Jones in the same way because I think that he has the potential, you know, to have a similar career. I think he's that type of player.
We're talking to the great Barrett Jones,
like
national champion there at Alabama Memphian here on the show. Catch him on ESPN Radio. We were having a conversation before you hopped on, Barrett, about, and this was just Jason's observation, and I'm going to run it by you. Jason's observation was that what a joke that Jeremy Pruitt said that they are closer to Alabama than before he arrived. And then Jason said that, and I want to make sure I'm not misquoting you here, Jason, that Tennessee should be expelled from the SEC and replaced with Memphis.
Well, it's just like preschool to the pros compared to what the two are doing.
Are you in favor of that move, an expulsion for Tennessee from the SEC, and then we just put Memphis in the dark of the night?
Memphis be more competitive there.
I don't think it's up to me, guys. I don't think it's up to me. I mean, look, first of all, let me just say, I do agree with Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, like, I saw that roster of where they were when he got there, and it was brutal. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. I called their spring game that year. And they had their offensive line. They had like some 270-pound guys playing guard.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it looked like a high school, a really good high school offensive line that was out there. So I think that roster wise, Tennessee is closer.
And
I think that the quarterback play this year. Look, this plain and simple, the guys lost faith this year. Not necessarily in Jeremy Pruitt, but just in the team in general. When everything started to go south. And that's why I was in favor of moving on from Garantano before that, even if he gave me the best chance to win, which, by the way, I believe the coaches when they say that. Like, I've heard all the reports in practice. I think he probably gave him the best chance to win, but I think that there was more at work than just that because there was no belief in Garantano, and at least with the younger guys, you maybe have a little bit of belief that, you know, we could be good in the future. And so I think that they waited too long to make that move, and because of it, it kind of shipwrecked their season because they had some good pieces. They had a pretty good O-line this year. They had some good pieces on defense. And so I do think Tennessee is a team that, especially the way they're recruiting, that's the thing. Recruiting is the lifeblood of a program. So if they're still recruiting well, it's not time to jump off board yet. And I do think they're a one good quarterback away from not necessarily national championship contender level, but being in that second, third team in the East kind of level. And then maybe looking to take the next step in future years.
Well, and they had a run game with our man Eric Gray, who's like you right here from the M. Back to the title game real quick. In the end of it specifically, Barrett, because you would know, having played for Saban, is he as comfortable in the arms of any of his guys as he was in the arms of Landon Dickerson last night? Is that a special situation? Obviously, the senior center, you know, they let him play there at the end of the game. It tore his ACL less than a month ago. You could tell it meant a ton to him, but it seemed like Saban recognized, too, the moment, and Landon picks him up, carries him across the field. Do all Saban's players feel that close to him where they're all picking him up? Is he that comfortable in the arms of all of them? That situation seemed like one to talk about, man.
There's no doubt. Look, there's a lot going on there.
I could tell.
I thought it was such a cool moment last night when Landon went in. My favorite part was the reaction, and I hope they showed it on TV, but the reaction of the players when he got in the huddle. I mean, all of his brothers there, his own linemen, hugging him. Just embracing him like a deep, passionate embrace. I thought that was so neat to watch.
Yep.
And the O-line is to me the greatest team position within the greatest team sport. Like, there's nothing like the O-line room. Like, that's what I miss the most about football, is just the camaraderie in that room amongst the guys. And I thought that was really, really neat. And then, you know, to watch Coach Saban get carried off the field, like, there's no doubt, like, Coach Saban, he enjoyed the moment a lot more last night than I had ever seen him.
Agreed.
Before.
Yeah.
He was a different kind of excited. I think he loves this team. You know, he would say he loves every team, and I'm sure he has. I think there's some teams he's loved more than others. He probably would never fully admit that. Yeah. But he loves this team. Like, this team was special for a lot of reasons. But when you have a team where your best players are your best leaders and also your best people, I think that that makes for a special group. And I think when you think about guys like Landon, like Alex Leatherwood, like Mac Jones, like Devontae Smith, like Najee Harris, like Patrick Surtain, you can go on and on. But the leaders of this team were all great dudes. They weren't prima donnas. They weren't the kind of guys you had to worry about what they were going to say. Like, there were a lot of good people on this team, and I think that that's part of the reason that Coach Saban had such a fun time. And then I also think that he's getting older. I mean, look, it's just reality. He's what is he, 69 years old now? Like, he's starting to think about it a little more. He's starting to think about, hey, I don't know how many more of these I have. And I think he's just savoring it a little bit more, and I think he's considering his legacy a little bit more and just considering, you know, what he's able to been able to accomplish. And certainly I don't mean that he's resting on his laurels. He's probably somewhere right now. He's probably on the plane right now with an iPad in his hand with earphones in, grinding on film, frustrated because someone blew a coverage on, you know, third and six. Like, he's probably still doing that. But I do think that he seemed to really have a lot of fun last night. I think that that was pretty fun to watch for a guy that knows him pretty well.
Barrett, man, thanks so much for the time, as always.
Great insight.
Congratulations once again.
Thank you, Barrett.
Your cup runneth over. Thanks, man.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
It's a pleasure.
He is Barrett Jones, three-time national champion there as a player at Alabama.
He'll be 70 in October.
Yeah.
That's it.
Damn.
He'll be Barrett's 70. Right. He's 69. He'll be 70 in October.
I mean, look at the dude, man. He's got a full head of hair. Okay.
Energy.
He's got a lot great of energy. I mean,
it takes a lot of energy to do that.
So, Boeheim, I got this real quick. Boeheim will turn 77 in November. Obviously, the Syracuse coach still going at it, still going strong. Coach K is going to turn 74 in February. I don't. No disrespect to those guys, but I feel like Saban's got a lot more in the life tank than those dudes. And maybe it's where his program is right now, and now he's got it all kind of running like a factory. He's got the offensive spot like we're talking about now. Bill O'Brien's going to do so. It's kind of running like a factory. Take some of the pressure off of him. Maybe you got all those players, but he feels like I feel like he's got more life juice than Boeheim. And what's keep him from going to 74, 75? And why can't he get two or three more to get to 10?
It's so remarkable. Even as great as it was and as predictable it was that Alabama won last night, I mean, I'm not trying to overstate it. It is freaking unreal.
No, I don't think there is any overstating it. I think that is the greatest coach
He's the best to ever do that
And I think
job.
It's the greatest dynasty that we've ever seen.
Well, remember, he played 11 SEC schools, too, this year. That's not going to happen again when you go undefeated against 11 SECs. Yeah. We say it's the best football. I mean, and you go undefeated against it this year.
Yep.
They didn't play Georgia Southern this year.
No.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
That's
I mean, they played a full SEC. That will never be
and
done again.
As he pointed out, there were no real huge breaks in between before they go off into the college football playoff, and they're playing two major teams there. I will say that now, if you're talking about winning a national championship, I mean, he's only talking about a handful of.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.